Wisconsin Indian tribes, led by the Ho-Chunk Nation, will hold a Save the Mounds rally at the state capitol today. The event is in response to a bill that would allow for the excavation of Native American burial grounds to see if human remains exist. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January 12th. We will talk with a supporter of this legislation who says it's needed to protect property rights. And then after 7:30, we will welcome in a guest from Indian Country Communications, who criticizes the proposal as being disrespectful and ethnocentric. And we will welcome your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest. Bob Shea is the president of Wingra Stone and Ready Mix, which is seeking to dig at what the Ho-Chunk Nation claims is a protected burial site. But Wingra says there is no proof that remains lie there. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So in a nutshell, why do you think Wisconsin needs this legislation?
Let me give you a little background on our situation. Our company is a construction company in Madison. We are an aggregate producer, and the site at question is a very active limestone quarry in the village of McFarland. The quarry is 57 acres large, and it's been producing stone for the consumers in Dane County since the 1960s. And it's a very viable quarry. It's nicely located. It's very economic because it's close to the markets. And we supply mostly Wisconsin DOT projects, City of Madison, Dane County Highway, and other local cities and villages, road construction projects. Now, with all that said, in 1985, the state enacted the burial preservation laws. In 91, the State Historical Society came out to our site, the quarry in McFarland, and they cordoned off a three-acre section of the site, which does, in fact, have an effigy mound on it. And they told us that we were cataloged and that the site was protected and that we would not be allowed to quarry in that area, and asked us to work around that area, which we have done. The problem with the cataloging is that the state law requires that the human remains be found to be cataloged. And the State Historical Society has never, ever provided any evidence whatsoever that there are human remains in these effigy mounds up there. Subsequently, as we've excavated other material in the quarry, we've created a pillar of rock now, which is 3 acres in diameter and stands 50 feet above the quarry floor in the balance of the land, and is an isolated structure that can't be disturbed at this point, and yet can never be visited by the public, can't be studied, can't be enjoyed. There's federal laws that protect and prohibit entry into mining operations. So it's a very interesting situation we have here, and we've been working literally for 2 decades trying to work through the legal processes and legislative processes to find some resolution to this situation where the effigy mound sits up on top of 3 acres of quarry land now. So that's what we're dealing with out there in McFarland today.
The Ho-Chunk argues that excavating to find out for sure if there are human remains would destroy the mounds, which runs against the purpose of the preservation law. How do you respond to that point?
I would respond that any excavation would be a very professional and very well-coordinated archaeological dig. It wouldn't be any mass excavation or bulldozing of the mound. It would be a scientific and very thoughtful and planned small-scale dig until they found anything that was human in remains. And if they did, in fact, find remains, it would immediately stop and would be protected then under the law infinitely. Should they not find anything, then I guess we would be looking to excavate the land at some point.
Yeah. Well, what about those who believe that the effigy mounds, even without human remains, are sacred and should be preserved?
I understand that people have those beliefs and they hold those beliefs very sincerely, and that these are landmarks to the Indian nations and very meaningful for them. However, we're dealing with state law here, and I guess what the state law requires is that there be human remains. And at this point in time, there is absolutely no evidence of human remains, and yet this land has been cataloged and protected for two and a half decades.
There will be, as I mentioned, a Save the Mounds rally at the Capitol today. Wisconsin's 11 tribes are participating. Our next guest is going to criticize this legislation as being disrespectful, ethnocentric, and greedy, greedy, greedy. What's your response to that?
I guess greedy, greedy, greedy. This is what we do. We are a limestone manufacturer. We deliver limestone products to road projects in Madison. This isn't really greed. There's a lot of rock there that could be accessed should there not be remains. It is highly marketable. We have a company with 100 employees that works on road construction projects in the area. So I think the greed argument falls short. It's simply what this business entity do and these people that work at this business. That's what we do. We build roads and we provide materials, and these are economical materials are very close to the transportation systems that we're building in the area, including the expansion of Interstate 90, which is coming up.
Robin on Facebook says, protect the mounds. There has to be more gravel elsewhere. How much limestone do you estimate exists at the effigy mound site?
There's about 1.5 million tons of limestone in that 3-acre parcel that's protected at this point. I've heard the argument also that we should just go somewhere else. That argument falls a little bit short, too. Quarrying is not widely accepted in the community. It's very difficult to obtain permits to do quarrying. And the active quarries that are open and providing materials are the quarries that we need to pull out of and utilize. When they do become exhausted and completed, they'll be reclaimed, and we'll have to move on to a new site. But can you imagine the outcry when we move to a new site and a new neighborhood has to deal with the issues surrounding the siting of a new quarry? So we're just trying to utilize an existing resource that's been in production since the 1960s.
Why does the entire state law need to be changed just for this one case?
I don't think it needs to be changed just for this one case, but this one case is a good example of why we might change it. And I'd like to add that the State Historical Society is on written record stating that the law is now several decades old, and it could be reviewed and could be improved. And I think that the law is somewhat inflexible for them in dealing with particular situations, maybe situations like ours. And so there is a record that the Historical Society themselves has suggested the law could be reviewed and improved.
We have, let's take a call before our news break from Claire in Madison. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Joy.
Good morning, Claire.
Hello, sir. I heard about this a few days ago, and I've been thinking about this situation. And I have a potential solution, a win-win for everyone. If there is an effigy mound or mounds there, I think they should be left alone, undisturbed, in respect for the history of the tribe and their culture and beliefs. But couldn't you leave the site alone and donate it to the tribe or tribes involved, and you can take a tax write-off for the donation and the loss of business?
Would that work, Bob Shea?
I have not thought about that, but let me tell you what I have thought about. And over the two decades that we've been working on this problem, we've made several overtures to the tribe and to the Historical Society and to the Attorney General's office, who supervises on behalf of the State Historical Society. We've offered to move the effigy mound from atop of the pillar we've created to another portion of the quarry and recreate it and authenticate it and replicate it in the best possible fashion. And we've also offered to move the mound and recreate it on a site off-site chosen by others, possibly the tribe, if they wanted to have the effigy mound rebuilt at a site of their choosing. We have offered to do that. That would get it in a position where it could be viewed and studied and enjoyed and by the public. Because, again, right now the public will never, ever enjoy or see or spend any time at this at this site.
We're going to check news, and then we will continue talking with Bob Shea, who is the president of Wingra Stone and Ready Mix. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. During this hour, we are getting two takes on a bill in the state legislature that would allow for the excavation of Native American burial mounds. We are talking with the president of Wingra Stone and Ready Mix, which is seeking to dig at what the Ho-Chunk Nation claims is a protected burial site. But Wingra says there is no proof that human remains lie there. Coming up in just a few minutes, we will talk with a critic of this proposal as well, who happened to work as Governor Tony Earle's advisor on Indian Affairs to help craft the current law that protects Native American burial sites. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Bob Shea, who is the president of Wingra Stone and Ready Mix. Stone and Ready Mix. Andy on Facebook says, how much do you have to dig to know for sure? It seems like you could excavate and search until the entire mound is gone. Bob Shea?
I am not an archaeologist, but the mound itself only stands less than a foot above the grade of the natural ground around the mound. So there's not an excessive amount of earth in this mound. And I guess the professional archaeologists who would look into that mound would know how to go through that and sort through and do a proper job to find out what's in there, artifacts or other things or remains or nothing. So I'm not an expert on that. One thing I'd like to mention, if I could, we've been, you know, voluntarily complying with this order not to work in this area, and we'll continue to comply with that order. We also have been trying to utilize the system that's available to work through this process and find a solution, maybe one that's amenable to everybody. One of the things we've done is we've asked for the site to be decataloged, and that's a legal request we've made in the court, and we do believe it was wrongfully cataloged in the beginning because they showed no proof of any human remains. And what we did in our decataloging request in the lawsuit, we hired a ground-penetrating radar specialist from the University of Wisconsin. He came out to the site, and on two different times, he did a very thorough ground-penetrating radar study of the site, state-of-the-art process, state-of-the-art equipment, and he came to the conclusion that there are no remains at that mound. So we've actually offered proof that supports our position, while the Historical Society has not offered any proof. So we believe we're working in a logical and methodical and respectful way through the system that's available to us to try and win the right to look at this and find out what we really have there. And again, I'd like to mention, if it's ever confirmed that there are human remains there, that site is protected. It's done. The debate is over.
Well, you mentioned it. It is an issue that's making its way through the courts. Why not let the judicial system sort this out instead of pushing for this legislative action?
Well, we've been working on a couple different approaches. We've got the decataloging request. We also have a request in the courts to obtain a permit to disturb, which is allowed by the statute itself. So it's the responsible way to ask permission to explore this thing. Changing the law came up when we got engaged with the Historical Society, and they, too, suggested the law was somewhat dated and could be improved and made better. And so that's kind of where that approach developed from. And lastly but not least, we've offered to negotiate with the Ho-Chunk people who are particularly interested in this site and try to find some resolution amongst ourselves that might be feasible. And one idea we threw out, for example, was to put together a fund to further education on mounds and do something that would further the people's knowledge and actually share this information with the people. Because people will never see these mounds. They're protected, and they're in a limestone active quarry.
There was one of the State Historical Society historians was quoted in a WPR story that we ran in our newscast at the top of the hour. There was an event in Pewaukee last night where this issue was discussed, and the historian said property owners have a responsibility to maintain artifacts, meaning the effigy mounds, and he said if somebody's going to buy property or have it and there are effigy mounds all over the place, well, tough luck, buddy. You're taking on a responsibility. How about that?
I find some flaw in that thought process. The tough luck buddy argument, I guess, doesn't work for me. I am trying to abide by the laws and work through the system and try to obtain an outcome that is to my best interest. I don't think that's out of line or disrespectful. I actually think it's thoughtful, and to spend as much time as we've spent working through this, I think, shows our interest in the whole situation, shows respect, frankly, for the situation. We do have a desire to get the outcome that we desire to get, and that would be if there's no human remains, then we'd like to excavate. And we have offered many ideas about how to recreate that mountain somewhere else and then put it in a position where it can be utilized by the public.
Let's go to John in Madison. Hello, John.
Hi, Joy. I would like to recommend if you're trying to negotiate with the Ho-Chunk that the offering to move the mound is not exactly going to make them happy, because the mounds were put in the places that they were put because the place was holy before the mound made it holy. It doesn't quite make sense in that context. I was also going to recommend that perhaps that you could try and find a way to allow the site to be visited by people, since you said it's not serving you or the Ho-Chunk, that perhaps you could find a way that it could legally and safely be visited by people instead of it not being enjoyed by anybody.
Bob Shea?
It would be very difficult to craft a scenario where we had visitors, just citizens coming into an active limestone quarry, which in our season can be quite busy, frankly. That's just not going to happen. There's federal law that would not allow that to take place. So the idea is interesting, but it's just, I don't believe it would be feasible.
Yeah. We have a lot of people on Facebook who are making an analogy or criticizing this bill, saying, you know, nobody would say let's excavate a cemetery to see if human remains are here. You know, how would you like it if somebody dug up your relatives is what's being said. How do you respond to that?
Well, I wouldn't like it if I knew exactly where my relatives were buried and I knew that they were factually placed in a particular location. Then I would fight to preserve that location, but that's not what we have here.
Because there is no evidence. Yeah.
There is no evidence. There is no proof. There is no record. There is no marker. And it's a fact, I believe, beyond much dispute, that not all effigy mounds have human remains. Even the State Historical Society acknowledges that. And that it's debatable how many do and how many don't, but I don't think it's up for debate whether all effigy mounds have human remains.
Yes.
That's just not true.
So what's your parting message for our listeners regarding your position on excavating these effigy mounds?
We're simply trying to win the right to go in and do a thoughtful exploration or archaeological dig, if you will, and I'm not an archaeologist, but determine what is in there. We've offered the State Historical Society the opportunity to come in and conduct that dig and find artifacts, if there are artifacts there, or if there's human remains, we could determine that once and for all. Anything else in there, and so it could be they could take artifacts if they find artifacts and preserve them and put them on display for the public. So we really have gone through a lot of different ideas on ways to find some agreement that everybody could live with.
How confident are you that there's enough support among lawmakers to pass this bill?
I'm not sure if there's enough support or not. We're trying to make our case. We're trying to get the message out. We're trying to work through the system, and we're going to continue to abide by the law and do the right thing.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bob Shea is the president of Wingra Stone and Ready Mix, which is seeking to dig at what the Ho-Chunk Nation claims is a protected burial site, but Wingra says there's no proof that remains, human remains, lie there. We will get another perspective now on this bill that would allow the excavation of Native American burial mounds. We will talk with a critic of the proposal, the editor of News from Indian Country, who served as Governor Tony Earle's advisor on Indian affairs to help craft the current law that protects Native American burial sites. And we will continue to welcome your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. There is a rally to save the mound scheduled for today at noon at the state capitol. Our next guest is Paul DeMaine, who is also the Chief Executive Officer of Indian Country Communications. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being here. So what's going to happen at this rally today at noon?
Well, I think that a lot of people are on their way from throughout the state to simply make a statement that they stand with the position that these mounds are worth protecting for a whole lot of reasons. They represent not only burial grounds and cemeteries in the majority of instances, they represent religious, spiritual sites. They represent ancient artwork that rivals anything in the world. And we know that in other parts of the world, we've had groups of people destroying sandstone Buddhas because they didn't like them, and destroying churches because they didn't agree with them, and destroying ancient works of art in the Middle East. It's ISIS and the Taliban and so forth that are doing this, and people find it reprehensible. Now, this isn't the same kind of group of people, but it's in a way, it's kind of the same mentality. It's a mentality that says, you know, I can make money off of some product if I can get those mounds to go away. I just heard Mr. Shea say that there was no marker. You know, there's no proof. There's no marker. The marker is the effigy mound themselves. At one time, Wisconsin had 20,000 of them. Now we have about 2,000 to 4,000 mounds that are left. The problem with parts of this bill is that the implications, and it isn't just on his property. I mean, he's already managed to destroy several other mounds that have been on his property in the past, and what's left there was cataloged around the turn of the century for the first time, 1910 or so. by people who are concerned about the mounds and saying, they're here, let's mark them, let's show where they are. We don't understand them, we don't know what they are for sure. But there's proof that there's anomalies. There's already been ground penetration radars on those mounds. There have been...
Well, he said, Paul, that that they had some radar done, and there was no evidence of human remains in the mounds. And so he says he's got proof that there are no human remains there, but the Historical Society has presented no proof there are.
That's not proof. Human remains that are thousands of years old dissolve and become part of the earth. That's what they were before they became bones, and you hit strawberries and green beans and became bones. There are anomalies there that would suggest that there was at least six or seven different times that the earth was penetrated further down in. Just because you can't see a human pelvis doesn't mean that there aren't remains there. If you talk with the Ho-Chunk, they have stories about their history that go back thousands of years. They go back to times when they had battles with the Cahokians, which they called the Giants, and fought he who wears human heads as earrings, and Red Horn saved the Ho-Chunk by freeing the slaves that the Cahokians had subjugated, and they brought back the remains of their people that had been stolen. Their bones had been stolen. They were crushed by the Cahokians. There's evidence at the Goshal site that there is human remains that's been powderized that was laid at an altar, a storytelling altar, perhaps to keep the story of the theft of those bones and remains alive for years to come. So we don't know that if that effigy mound there was lined with crushed human bones, or whether there was a grandma's pelvis there that somehow gone back to the earth. There are ground compositions and soil compositions that will dissolve human beings, and there's still DNA in there, over there. But what you're asking to do is to desecrate a site in order to prove something. This particular site is well known. Bob Shea is the individual that forced the state of Wisconsin, the courts, and the Ho-Chunk Nation and other people to get the first court order to be able to go on to the land to prove that the mound was there in the first place. So the relationship with him in the tribal community has been adverse from the very beginning. Okay, this was an individual who says, I'm not even going to allow you to come on to the ground to catalog the fact that they're there because there's no proof that there's there. So he's already arguing that there's now no proof that there's bones. He used to argue that there's no proof that they were there because they weren't cataloged, and he wouldn't allow people to go on to the operation, even though there's been people who have gone to that site. I've been to that site in the past to observe the mounds and to look at them and check on them and to tobacco them out of respect for what they are.
We have just a couple of minutes before a news break, but what about Bob Shea saying that this, if this excavation were permitted, this wouldn't be some bulldozing affair, but a very meticulous, careful examination to see if human remains are there, and if there are, everything stops.
Well, and he's made the claim that nobody sees them, nobody does anything because it's in a limestone quarry, but the limestone quarry has to be configured for residential use in the future because it's in a residential area. And so it's going to have to be manicured, it's going to have to be secured, something's going to have to happen to it. But I don't simply agree with the idea that in order not... And here's something else, Joy. This means that all the mounds at Lacouture, there used to be 100 of them up there, there's maybe about a dozen left, could all be plowed down on private property. They're all on private property because none of those mounds hold human remains. You know, want to know why? Because somebody already stole them all. They took them for the Chicago's World's Fair. There are no human remains in those conicals and effigies and panthers and everything because Caucasian people had no respect for those mounds and dug into them and destroyed them to the extent that they removed the burials. The question is, should they be protected because they're ancient earthworks, because they're a mausoleum, because they were a cemetery that should be preserved? The answer is yes.
Let me hold you there as we have news next, and then we'll continue talking with Paul DeMain, Chief Executive Officer of Indian Country Communications, about this bill on effigy mounds. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Indian tribes, led by the Ho-Chunk Nation, will hold a Save the Mounds rally at the state capitol today at noon. The event is in response to a bill that would allow for the excavation of Native American burial grounds to see if human remains exist. In our first half hour, we talked with a guest who has an effigy mound on his property, a limestone quarry in Dane County, and he says that there's no proof that human remains are in this effigy mound, and he wants permission to be able to excavate it. Right now we are talking with Paul DeMaine, who says that this proposal is disrespectful, ethnocentric, and greedy. Greedy, greedy. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you have a question or a view on this. Paul DeMaine is Chief Executive Officer of Indian Country Communications, the editor of News from Indian Country. He served as former Governor Tony Earle's advisor on Indian Affairs policy, and he helped craft the current law that protects Native American burial sites. Paul, why was there a need? Why was this law created in the first place?
Well, one time there was some 20,000 mounds. Wisconsin was well known for its mounds because we're north of the Colchian culture. We have several very, very special sites in the state of Wisconsin. We've got mounds scattered throughout the state. We've got mounds at Lacouderay. Where the Cahokians were, the Cahokians mined up in the Pinokies. So their activity was very extensive, but the majority of the mounds were in Dane County that we know of. This was a very sacred place. I've been told that it was a place where people were not allowed to conduct warfare because of the mounding. We know that some of these mounds were built to do a replica of the stars and the animals placed on Earth, that they were placed here for other spiritual and religious reasons, and if they aren't anything but ancient artwork, they ought to be preserved. And the 1985 Act, which was signed during Governor Anthony Earle's governorship, was something that was done in consultation with the American Indian Legislative Study Committee that went out and talked to people, private landowners that had mounds. They came up with a consensus about how to protect them, how to regulate the excavations, the accidental excavations of remains, and we think that it's a very good law, whereas the repeal of this particular law, which would expose mounds throughout the state of Wisconsin, we'd have to dig into 2,000 mounds to prove to everyone that there's remains in them or something, you know, kind of a deal. Desecrate the burial to show that there's a burial there or there's a special significance to it. So there was a consensus amongst Democrats and Republicans. There was hearings. There was a long process that this bill went through, and that's what it ought to go through in terms of its ability to be repealed. It shouldn't be just hidden in the state capitol, and a lot of the legislation nowadays is special interest legislation. This is called Bob Shea's Wingra Ready Mix legislation because it's pretty much focused on his effigy mound groups. And he's a contributor to all the proper people that allows him to have access to get a bill written, but it has much wider implications.
Well, effigy mounds 101, what exactly is an effigy mound, and why are they considered to be so sacred?
Well, because most of them are burial mounds. As they were built, laborers were put there. As they were built, people of high esteem, leadership people were buried there, or parts of them were buried there. You know, in the last, since 2012, under the federal protections on federal lands, 32,000 individual remains have been given back to Indian tribes, along with 670,000 funeral objects looted from burials. So there's been vast desecration of these mounds already. That's why they needed to be protected, because 80% of the mounds that were in Wisconsin have been destroyed. What's left is a unique history of this continent going way back before all the other immigrants came here in the last couple hundred years. The Cahokian culture was from 1,000 to 4,000 years ago in terms of its time period. And the Ho-Chunk share it with them in their oral history and in their factual history. And so when they say we oversee these mounds, it's because it could be their relatives and the remains of their relatives, or they built these mounds that protected them. That's why we know of them.
We have Gene in Ashland with us. Hi, Gene.
Hi. There are more reasons for the mounds than just the very put-down spiritual meanings or burial meanings. There were practical mounds that in such places as Lower Michigan, where some relatives of mine obtained historical drawings and diagrams of living areas being protected by mounds. I forget how high, but the mounds were built in a to enclose a mostly an oval shape living area, and the
Gene. I'm wondering if you think that they should be protected if they were other than burial grounds.
Yes, we should study how the ancient people survived this wild, wild world a long time ago, because we, in our silly smartness, may blast ourselves back into that time and struggle.
Yeah. So, Gene's saying there's lots of other uses of the mounds, but they should be protected.
Yeah, geography, astronomy. There's many, many highly mathematical, scientific reasons that these mounds were there that people have studied. I saw that they tried to put some solar data over the mounds at the Wingra site to see if they coincided. One of the best protected mound sites is up at the Mendota Mental Health Care Center. You got conicals, you've got thunderbirds, you got panthers, you got four-legged deer. If you want to see how special they are, this is one place that you can go onto some public lands and take a peek at what they feel like. You ought to be around them because you can feel the aura of them, or at least some people can feel that aura. But yeah, there's some astounding discoveries in terms of how mathematically correct people 2,000 years ago were developing these mounds to create things like on the solstice day, the panther's tail is where the sun goes down or something like that. So we haven't had a chance to take a look at all these things. And in fact, in this particular mound group, the owner has prevented people from going onto his property and doing anything with them, let alone to view them for the public. And I know it's a quarry. That's a dangerous situation. You don't want it. But the thing is that the other mounds around this particular Eagle Myth effigy mound and what remains of the head of a canine or a fox or some animal up there, most of it's a lot of it's already been disturbed in the past.
We have Richard on Facebook who says, considering these are characterized as religious sites and given the separation of church and state, why is the government even involved to begin with? If these burial grounds are so important to the tribes, they should use some of their millions in gambling proceeds to purchase the land from the owners. What do you say to that?
In some cases, tribes have been purchasing the lands from the owners and restoring these sites. There are still farmers who prevent indigenous people in Wisconsin from visiting their relatives on their private property. And in fact, maybe the burial protection law ought to be expanded to allow indigenous people access to their sites rather than having to face barriers like fences and irate landowners.
Let's go to Julie in La Crosse. Hi, Julie.
All right, sorry. Hello. On this morning, I'm Julie De La Terre with the Sacred Water, Sacred Land Institute. And I think the question here is, how do we define humanity? Sacredness is part of who we are as a species. And I was raised in the tradition, understand the concept of sanctity and sacredness. I'm prepared to give that up to the global industrial complex or the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Group, because when you commodify everything that defines us, we lose our humanity and we lose our sense of sacred.
Thank you, Julie. A little bit broken up there, but did you catch that last part, Paul?
Yeah, I think she's she's expressing the kind of anger at some of these desecrations that have taken place, you know, and they want to stand up to what I called greed. It's money, money, money. Usually, when a mound wants to be reserved, it's because someone wants to make money, money, money for something, and they just take out the idea. Well, it's just ancient artwork. Let's throw it away. It may be like a Picasso to an indigenous person, but it means nothing to me. It may have been a sacred location at one particular point. It may have been a church, but I have no respect for that. Let's tear down the foundation of what's left. Get rid of history. If it's burial grounds, you know, why do these Indians got to keep showing up in all these pesky places where there could be money made, in the Pinokis or on this prime lot that's on now a corner of a highway? If I could only get in there and take that conical mound down, I could put a gas station there and make a lot of money. So it's got to do with values. And I understand that, Shea has a quarry down here that he wants to make money off of, but it's coming. It comes to an end at some point anyway. He's on that corner of the lot where at some particular point you can't go into the residential areas of McFarland anymore. And it has to end somewhere. It could end a little bit earlier with the preservation of this site. It would make a wonderful park in a residential area for the future, and children could go there and view that and understand that the Ho-Chunk and the Cahokians, other people were there, and there was something sacred that happened there that caused them to build this effigy mound.
In our final minute, what's your parting message for our listeners regarding why this bill should not pass and why these mounds should not be excavated?
It's simply respect. We start at home with that idea that, a church site is sacred. We don't desecrate it. We don't go to the local burial ground and say, look, I can dig up Grandma Tommy Thompson's pelvis, which I threatened one time. And the money was restored for the burial protection laws, in part because of it, and lobbying of the tribes. But it starts with basic respect.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Paul DeMaine, Chief Executive Officer of Indian Country Communications, editor of News from Indian Country, served as former Governor Tony Earle's advisor on Indian Affairs policy. He helped craft the current law that protects Native American burial sites. And I guess I should also point out that he is one of our regular Week in Review guests. Thanks very much to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Elizabeth Delaquest for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.